John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped. Now, apparently when they whipped people before they crucified them, often the people died just from the whipping. It was so awful. That means they'd have ripped large amounts of skin out of his back, and there would have been blood pouring down his back, as well as from the crown of thorns. The soldiers made a crown of thorny branches and put it on his head, and then they put a purple robe on him and came to him and said, "Long live the King of the Jews!" And they went up and slapped him. Now, can you imagine God, who can do all things, seeing his son treated like this? You see then his amazing patience with people. Pilate went out once more and said to the crowd, "Look, I bring him to you to let you see that there is no reason to condemn him." Now, Pilate in history is recorded as a man having no conscience at all. And yet you see how even someone who apparently has got no conscience, their conscience gets touched by Jesus, especially him in his time of suffering. And so this is why the preaching of the cross, telling people about Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection, this touches people's conscience. And what we must do is to say yes and to go the way that we are led by that conscience, to live in good conscience before God. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe that was, they were mocking him, that he was a king. Pilate said, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the temple guards saw him, they screamed out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, because I do not see any reason to condemn him to death." But the crowd replied, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Well, that law was certainly not in the law of Moses, because God's law doesn't say that. When Pilate heard this, he was even more frightened. So you see this man Pilate, who killed people just like that, just because he fancied killing somebody, he's frightened because he senses, even a hard-hearted Pilate, that God is in this. Pilate went back into the palace and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus did not reply. Will Pilate be in the kingdom? Well, you never know who will be in the kingdom of God, because you just don't know. Well, we don't know. Because it's possible that at one point in a man's life, he might come very close to the things of God, but then turn away. And it's he that endures to the end who will be saved. So he asks Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus would not reply. And Pilate said to him, "Will you not even speak to me? Do you not realize that I have power to set you free and also to kill you?" Jesus replied, "You have power over me only because it was given to you by God. So the man who handed me to you is guilty of greater sin." When Pilate heard this, he tried to find by all means a way to let Jesus go free. But the crowd shouted back, "If you let this man go free, you are not Caesar's friend. Anyone who claims to be a king is in rebellion against Caesar." When Pilate heard those words, he took Jesus outside, sat down on the judge's seat in the place that is called the pavement. In Hebrew, it's called Gabbatha. It was then around the noon, midday, the day before the Passover. And Pilate said to the people, "Behold your king." But they shouted back, "Crucify him, crucify him." But Pilate asked them, "Do you want me to kill your king?" The chief priests replied, "Caesar is our only king." So how awful. This was the rejection of God, of course, who was really their king. Remember how when they first wanted a human king, Samuel was so upset with them because they'd rejected God. So these priests who had been so careful to keep the law of Moses in every way, were crucifying the Son of God and rejecting God as their king. So Pilate handed over Jesus to them to crucify him. Jesus went out, this is out of the courthouse, carrying his cross. Now in the other records it says that he had to have help from this Simon of Cyrene, who was passing by. And in Mark, it seems to say that they carried Jesus to the cross. So he goes out carrying the cross, but it was too heavy for him. So he probably stumbled and fell, and that's when they got Simon to carry it behind Jesus, and then eventually Simon had to carry the whole thing. So Jesus asks us to carry his cross, but do you know, Jesus himself couldn't actually carry his cross to the end. So it's a comfort that he does understand the weight of what he asks us to do. He came to Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and we've said it could be the skull of Goliath, Goliotha. And there they crucified him. So it doesn't actually go into the details that they took nails and put one on each hand and banged it in and the pain. It just says, and there they crucified him. And they also crucified two other men, one on each side of him, with Jesus in their midst. And Pilate wrote a sign and put it above the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many people read it because the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, he claimed to be King of the Jews." But Pilate replied, "What I have written, I have written." After the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, each soldier taking one part. And they also took his special robe, which was woven of one piece from the top down without any seam to it. The soldiers said to one another, "Let's not tear that and split it up. Let's throw dice to see who will get it." And this happened to fulfill the scripture which said, "They divided my clothing among them, and for my robe they cast lots." And this is what the soldiers did. So it's like, let's get on and crucify him, because what's most important is who's going to get his rather nice robe that he had. So you see the small-minded materialism of men playing out right beneath the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. This is the power of materialism and desiring things and coveting. I want that nice robe. Standing by the cross were his mother, that's Mary, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, that's John it seems, he said to his mother, "Behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, that's John, "Behold your mother." And from that time, the disciple took her to his own home. That could mean he took her into his family, or that he led her away from the cross, back to his home in Jerusalem. Jesus, knowing that now all things had been fulfilled, said, "I thirst." There was a bowl there full of cheap wine, and so they soaked a sponge in that wine, put it on some hyssop, and lifted it up to his lips. Now hyssop stalks don't grow more than 50 centimetres long, so the mouth of Jesus was not that far above the ground. Not more than 50 centimetres. So the idea that you get that Jesus was crucified on a great big cross that was way far above everybody else, like you see in some church steeples and Catholic churches and that, this is not at all what happened. Jesus was much closer to us. He was crucified, as I say, not more than 50 centimetres, half a metre above the ground. He was crucified on a tree trunk. And he could carry that tree trunk. One man could carry the trunk on which he was crucified. So it wasn't a great big fat oak tree. It would just have not have been a very big tree at all. So Jesus is very close to us, and he always has been. And he died with his hands above his head, I think welcoming us, open to us, beckoning us to come to him. So Jesus drank the wine and said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Then the Jews asked Pilate to allow them to come and break the legs of the crucified, to take the bodies down from the crosses. This was to be extra sure that nobody survived and ran away. They did this because it was the Friday, and they did not want the bodies to stay on the crosses on the Sabbath, since the Sabbath that was coming was a special Sabbath connected with the Passover. So the soldiers went and broke the legs of the first man, the thief, and then of the other thief who'd been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, it was so clear that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and there came out blood and water. The one who saw this happen, this is John, testifies that this is true, so that you also may believe, and what he says is true, and he knows that he speaks the truth. This was done to fulfill the scripture which says, not a bone of him shall be broken. And another scripture says, they will look upon him whom they pierced. So that blood and water seems to speak of the spirit which was given from Jesus because of his death. Remember earlier in John, we've read that the Holy Spirit was not given at that time because Jesus had not yet been glorified, but now he was glorified. So because of his death, there became possible for those who are baptized, who are born of water, to also be born of the Spirit, to have the Spirit of Jesus enter into them, to transform them. After this, Joseph from Arimathea came to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now, the body was only given to close relatives. So Joseph is coming out publicly and saying, look, I feel to this man as if he is my family. And I think he did this without any clear understanding or hope that Jesus would be resurrected. He was motivated simply by the fact of Jesus' death to sacrifice all. And that's how we should be. Not just because we think, oh yeah, then I might get something in the kingdom of God, but simply because we love him as he is. Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. But now, you see, he's coming out openly. So Pilate granted him the body, and Joseph went and took it away. Nicodemus, who at first had come to Jesus by night, went with Joseph, taking with him about 30 kilograms of expensive spices, a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Now that's more than was used to bury the Caesars. So this would have been very expensive. And where would he have got it from? Well, he would have rushed around spending all his savings on buying this. And again, not because he thought that he was going to get rewarded at the resurrection, because I'm not sure that he really did understand the resurrection. And it's the same with us, that because Jesus died for me, I should give all that I have and come out openly and be unashamed for him. That means, in practice, that we pause to give thanks for our food, even if other people laugh at us and mock us. So these two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, took Jesus' body, wrapped it in linen with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And there was a garden in the place where Jesus had been crucified, and in it was a new tomb, where no one had ever been laid. Unless it was the day before the Sabbath, and because the tomb was nearby, they put Jesus' body there.